Blog Talk Radio.
Miracle Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina.
And on behalf of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, I welcome you in his name. We're so happy to be able to come together and to fellowship in the love of God and in his holy word. It is a privilege and an honor to pastor you, and I pray many blessings upon each of you in Jesus' holy name. Amen? Amen. You know, God has a way of working things out. Even when we can't figure out why it won't change as fast as we want it to, God has a way of working things out. And we want to thank him for working this out for us. Amen? Everything worked out in his timing. And we are learning as a church, as a body of believers, that his timing is essential in every answer. In every prayer request, we are learning to acknowledge that God's timing is essential. And so we wait and believe and trust and reverence him as he works out the details of the answers to our prayers. Amen? God is always working whether we can see what he's doing or not. But he is in control, and it is our place to honor him, to reverence him, to trust him, to praise him, to thank him, and to wait upon him. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Now, welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are, or returning listeners, should I say, we are a Christian, non-denominational, Protestant, internet, church, international. And we come on the internet every Wednesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States, and whatever time that is, wherever you may be in your time zone. And on Sundays, we meet as Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Sabrina? It means the internet church and the local church meet together as one body on Sunday. We share the celebration of Holy Communion together. We share the word. We share some laughs. And we share the presence of our God and his holy word. Amen? So, we're so happy to be together again. We're so happy to share each other's fellowship. We're so happy to fellowship in prayer and intercession and spiritual warfare together. It's a wonderful thing when people that are in the same locale can come together and praise the Lord. But oh, how much more infinite all over the globe can come together in the name of Jesus Christ with the same heart, the same voice, the same mind, and give him praise. Amen? Amen. Our God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. He's more than awesome. Amen? Amen. Now, some of you have kept up with what's been going on, and some of you got busy, and you missed out on a few things. And if I remember to, I'll give you the announcements again if you miss them. And if I forget, the Lord will remind me some other time. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to invite everyone to join us in our chat room. And our chat room is located on our webpage. Our webpage is miracleinternetchurch.com. That's miracleinternetchurch.com. When the page comes up, across the banner, you'll see MIC Radio Chat. Please click that link. When the page changes, click Guest. When it changes again, type in your name, one of the names that's on your birth certificate, and your greeting for the saints and enter it. And the saints will respond to you in Christian love. Amen. If you're on a cellular device, if you're on a cell phone, you may do the same thing. Use your browser to find MiracleInternetChurch.com. When the page comes up across the banner, you'll see three white lines against a black background. Click the three white lines and all the links will open to you. And you may choose MIC Radio Chat and follow the directions and you'll have the same results. Praise the Lord. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that love comes from God. Love comes from God. Why? Because God is love. So, if for some reason you find yourself in a situation where you don't think you have enough love, you need to source your Lord. The Bible says that the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So, if you think coming up short, go to the spout. Amen? Go to the one who pours it out in our hearts. Don't sit there moping and crying and pouting and sulking and having a pity party. He doesn't come to pity parties. However, if you will ask, you will receive. Amen? If you will ask in Jesus' name, you will receive. So if you think you have a deficit concerning whatever situation, you already have the answer. That's right. You already have the answer. The answer is you need to go to God and say, I need more love for whatever reason. Amen? You don't think you're getting enough love from some source that you think ought to provide it? Well, quit looking at that source and go to your God. Amen. He is the source of the love that you need. He is the source of the love that you want. So, don't sitting there staring at the spout with nothing coming out. Go to your God. He will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? You have all the love you need. You have more love available to you than you want. But if you need it, if you want it, ask him for it. Amen? Ask him for it. Don't sit there and feel hurt. There's no need for that. There is a more than adequate supply. All you need to do is ask. Amen? Jesus tells us to ask so that our joy might be full. So don't sit there wishing you had more love or wanting to feel more love. Go to the one who is love and receive what you need. Amen? Amen. How about that? Y'all worthy? I'm certain it will. I've tried it myself, and it's worked for me. And God is no respecter of persons. I'm certain that it will work for you. So you can write that down in your notes. Whenever I want love, whenever I need love, all I need to do is ask God. Amen. And receive. There. He says when you ask, believe that you receive and you'll have it. How about that? I think that works. I think it works. It works for me. And I believe that it will work for you too. So, let's get on with what we're going to do. We're going to spread some love. There are a few people we need to lift up in prayer. Why? Because we love them. They are members of the body of Christ, and we're going to pray for them before we get into our regular prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you and we give you praise for opening up the airways to us and removing every hindrance and every blockage and every dysfunction in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Blog Talk being healed so that we can enjoy your presence together. We lift up to you our sister in Georgia, who was just released from the hospital today. We ask you, Father, to touch her mind. Father, all the witchcraft that's been sent against her life, that attempt against her life, we return to sender in Jesus' name. You know every murderer, Lord. You know every murderer, whether they walk through the front door or they astral projected. Lord, your word is truth. We thank you that you honor and fulfill your word. We lift up to you, Father, Brother Sam's widow and son, and the rest of their family members, Father, as they mourn the loss of their loved one. Lord, we are grateful to you for taking our brother home. His body had done all that it could do, and I know that he longed to be with you. We thank you that he's with you in heavenly places now, and that all is well with him. We ask you, Father, to send the comforter to our sister, to her son, and to the other relatives and friends, Father, as they will miss him sorely just as we will. But we will see him again, and it won't be that long, Father. So we look forward to the day when we will see him and not just talk to him. Amen? We thank you, Lord, for providing every need for the family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord, to watch over these cards and expressions of love and sympathy that we're going to send to him. Brother Sam was with us for a very long time. He started when Pastor Pat was still here with us, Lord. And he continued with us for as long as he could, Father, all the way to the end. You know, I spoke with his widow, and we talked about things that he and I had talked about toward the end of his life. Father, thank you for giving her the strength and the energy to go through this time. Also, give her some rest. She was, the last 30 days, she was in him, with him in the hospital every single day. Lord, help her. Touch her life. Give her a renewal of your strength and your joy and your power. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. You know how to comfort every single saint. And his family members were Christians, Lord. So we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father, for all that you'll do for us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We also, Lord, are continuing in our praise and thanksgiving that when I warned the wizard that if he didn't stop, he would hear directly from you, you took care of it. We give you praise, O King Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for all that you're doing. You're touching a lot of people in this ministry, Lord, all at the same time. You're bringing miraculous change into each life. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are humbling themselves before you and seeking your face and turning from their wicked ways. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God is good, saints. God is good all the time. The Bible says in Proverbs, thrones and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. We want to thank the Lord that through wisdom a home is built. Heavenly Father, your word declares to us that a home is built through wisdom, and by understanding it will be established. By knowledge, all the chambers of our homes will be filled with precious and pleasant riches. So we ask you for the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge of your word and its promises to us. As for us and our families, we will serve you and walk continually in the wisdom you have granted to us. Thank you for all the promises of your word, which declare to us that your blessing will be upon our family and our home. We choose to obey you, Father, and in so doing, we know you will command your blessing upon our home. We greatly rejoice in your blessing, Lord, because you are establishing our home. You are prospering, protecting, and blessing our home because of your mercy and your everlasting love. Father, you have filled our hearts with gladness. We are able to sleep peacefully in our homes because you are keeping our homes safe. We put our total trust in you, and this gives us tremendous joy. Your blessing and your favor protect us and our homes like a shield. Because of this, we know that our homes will be blessed and remain standing. Father, we thank you for filling our homes with your loving presence in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You know, saints, it's good to know that our homes can be filled with the presence of the Lord. It's a good thing. It's a blessing to know that our home can be filled with the presence of the Lord. And so with that in mind, I remind you once again and bring attention to you that we like to play the words, the scriptures, and the blood song in our homes 24/7. When we've been out in the world and we've been exposed to the defilements that are there, it's like being washed clean to come into a home, and the presence of the Lord is everywhere. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to walk into your home and you perceive the presence of the Lord. And his word is speaking to our hearts. So if you have forgotten about that, I want to encourage you to pick it up again. It's a form of spiritual warfare. Yes, it is. It's a form of spiritual warfare. The demons don't like it. The demons don't like it at all. So I want to encourage you that if you've forgotten about that weapon again and use it. Amen? Yes. I play the word in my home, even when I'm not here. That is correct. When I walk in the door, I walk right into the word of God being played. And you should have that opportunity as well. Amen? Praise God, because his word is powerful. His word changes things. Amen. We want to thank God that his word will send the spirit of heaviness away. Heaviness away. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up everyone that's connected to this ministry that has a broken heart or despair or rejection or hopelessness or excessive mourning or insomnia or depression or oppression or self-pity. We bind those demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And we release the power of the word of God into the lives of those persons right now in Jesus' name. Into the lives of those persons and those saints in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We want to thank God for everything he does for us. Lord, for those who are in confusion, those who are impulsive, those who are experiencing issues with memory and learning disabilities, those who have problems and mental blocks, those who are living in rebellion, those who are elevating their self-will over the will of God, those who are filled with anger or selfishness or stubbornness or judgmental, or unteachable, or pride, or control, or possessiveness, or hatred, or roots of bitterness, or resentment, or violence, or unforgiveness, or murder, or retaliation, and having problems with memory recall. We take authority, dominion, and power over those spirits in that person's life. We bind those spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. As the body of Christ, we bind those spirits in Jesus' name, and we command them to come out of them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. You have received the command from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Come out of them. Come out of them. We curse you as Jesus cursed the fig tree. And we command you to come up and out of them and go to the feet of Jesus' cage for immediate judgment. We thank you, Lord. We give you the praise for setting the captive free in Jesus' name. For setting the captive free in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over all guilt and condemnation, shame, unworthiness, pride, vanity, ego, intolerance, impatience, frustration, perfection, fantasy, withdrawal, pouting, unreality, vivid imagination, self-awareness, timidity, shyness, loneliness, sensitiveness, talkativeness, nervous tension, fear of people, mental insanity. You're bound in Jesus' name. Come up and out. Out, out, right now in the name of Jesus. You may not return. We close the door to you forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people of God in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of rejection, fear of rejection, mental abuse by those in authority, especially parents, control and domination, overprotection, double-minded, overdependence, outcast. You think you've been an outcast. Well, we bind that in the name of Jesus. Those are the lies of the enemy. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come up and out of the people of God in Jesus' name. If you feel like you've been a victim, hand that over to the Holy Spirit and tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm no longer a victim. I'm a victor with you. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for your spirit touching your people, changing your people. Oh, hallelujah. Transforming your people in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All of those devils, you've been trying to hold on for the longest. Well, it's over. Your reign is over, and you cannot return. We forbid you to ever come back under any circumstances in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over every pity party. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we forbid it to continue in the life of a saint in Jesus' holy name. We forbid it to continue in the life of a saint in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you as the body of Christ. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your forgiveness, Lord. We repent of our sins corporately, Father, and individually. We ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us and to set us once again on the path of righteousness which pleases you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for washing us clean in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for washing us clean in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for washing us clean with the water of the word, Father. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Lord, you are good to us. And you are good to us all the time. There is no time that you do not love us. You love us unconditionally. And we thank you, Lord, that when people are weak and fail to love us unconditionally, your unconditional love is there for us, no matter what. We give you the praise, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the honor for it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Lord, we lift our hands to you in praise, and we just receive your love right now. We receive your love, Father, right now. We open our hearts and our spirits to you, Father, and we say thank you for the love. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the love. We all need your love, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, doesn't that feel better, saints? Doesn't that feel better? Amen. I know it does. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all of his evil angels and his evil spirits and all demonic agents, and all of his underlings, decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in Jesus' name. And we forgive all such that should be forgiven by us in the name of Jesus Christ. We forgive freely and without reservation in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and his wicked powers in the name of Jesus. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar, electronic, digital, technology demons and their attacks. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, all brainwashing Kundalini spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust and drone spirits. We bind all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks. We bind the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons. Every attack that a saint has had in the mind, every attack that the saint has had in the mind, we send it back from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. Every attack must go back. Every attack must go back. Every attack must go back in Jesus' name. Every attack on the mind, every attack on the memory, every attack on the focus, every attack on our attention, trying to lure us back into excessive multitasking, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind it in Jesus' name. We're single-minded in Christ, and we serve the Lord with joy and gladness. We bind all whoredom spirits in their attack, all the voices of the stranger in their attack, all hypnotic and trance devils in their attack, tools in their intent. We bind all targeted radio frequency pulse weapons and microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequency attacks, and the work of every druid. Yes, we bind the voices of the stranger, the charmer, and the seducer, and all of their attacks. We bind electromagnetic attacks, smart technology, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult. We bind force feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crimes, pornography, demonic curiosity, bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology, pulse microwave radiation attacks designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo. Binding directed energy microwave weapons, binding all vibrations, which are demons. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord. That you said that whatsoever we bind on earth, you bind in the heavens. We bind hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, mystic rituals and their intent. We bind all microwave frequency weapons, 5G and components, everything in what we call outer space and other galaxies. We bind those weapons being sent against us in Jesus' name, coming from any satellite, coming from any star, coming from any stars, from any satellites that have been placed into orbit by man, by any stations placed on any planet. From any orbit in the name of Jesus Christ, we send the warfare back in the name of Jesus Christ. We raise the shield of faith and we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to melt and to pull down all the protections of the enemy so that when we send it back, it hits its target in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Father, and we give you praise for the armor of God. We thank you for every piece. We thank you that we wear it continually. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us what we need to overcome the enemy in Jesus' name. You are our shepherd, and we shall not want, for you supplied all of our need according to your riches and glory. So we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So we continually cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So we can, in humility, cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us and love us dearly. We thank you for divine health because you are the God who heals all of our diseases, and by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we have been healed. We thank you, Lord, for the prosperity that you've blessed us with. We thank you that our souls are prospering in Jesus' name. Joy of the Lord, that is our strength. We thank you for the healing of our souls. Yes, Lord. We thank you for the healing of our emotions. We thank you for healings in our thought life. Woo. We thank you for healings in our intellect. We thank you for healings in our imagination, in Jesus' name. We thank you for healings in our intellect, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for going through our emotional lives and pouring out of us emotions that have been deposited there years ago, but were never your will for us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Through our emotional lives, Father, and pouring out of us emotions that were deposited by circumstances that should not have happened in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for setting the captive free. We take authority, dominion, and power over fear and terror and intimidation that was placed in us years ago and has no right to be there nor remain in Jesus' name. You are bound in the name of Jesus Christ. You are cursed in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up and out now in Jesus' name. Come up and out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Deep breath and cough, saints. You know what to do. Deep breath and cough from your gut. Come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. All of that fear, all of that intimidation, all of that terror, all of that cringing, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of that timidity, all of that passivity, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. What time I am uncertain, I will trust in the Lord. Time I feel intimidated, I will trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us regardless, in Jesus' name. We thank you, and we turn these fears over to you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. We release them, Lord. We want them no more. And we turn them over to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And we give you the honor. We thank you, Lord, for building trust where there was fear, where we were dominated by intimidation and frustration, and we don't know what to do, and we're scared of what might happen, what could happen, what could happen again. Thank you for putting trust there in its place. We thank you for the divine exchange that happened on Calvary. We turned in our fears, and you gave us faith. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hey, we give you the praise, Lord. Right at the foot of Calvary, we turned in our fears, and you gave us your faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we thank you. And we overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South American, Islander, witchcraft from every cult, every coven, clave, and every cabal. We return it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We return it from whence it came in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We take authority, dominion, and power over all the fear that's in all of the saints of Miracle Internet Church right now in the name of Jesus. And as the body of Christ, we command all of the fear to come out of all of us in Jesus' name. You must go. You must go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, saints, and cough it out. Take a deep breath and cough it out from your gut. Cough it out until it's gone in Jesus' name. Cough it out until it's gone. There's no reason for you to have any fear There's plenty of love and plenty of faith for you to have in its place. Amen? Amen. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind Caribbean and Latin American black and white magic in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits, which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, low levels of dopamine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return its powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that has been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect. We bind all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship, and witchcraft dedications and all rituals done on the phases of the moon in the name of Jesus. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, and demonic knowledge, and exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and makes man wise in his own eyes, you are bound in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. We bind all spiders and all other creatures and their webs, trapping them in their own webs, Lord. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, and tranquilize, and reproach and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind food lust, addictions, and gluttony. We bind false flags in Jesus' name. We return to sender according to the covenant, all in every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, pronouncement, vows, root works to sin against us, astral projections, sending demons to us to work against us and against all that pertains to us. No demon, no wicked person, or unrighteous event left behind. Binding the inordinate use of conjugal rites, returning to sender, all witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites against the website, the app, and the broadcast in Jesus' name. Binding all abortions as a magical ritual. Returning to sender, all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, juju, hexes, vexes, and such in Jesus' name. All tribal witchcraft. Especially by Obeda men and witch doctors and shamans in Jesus' name, returning to sender, all Chaldean witchcraft, binding all rituals, all ceremonies, all sacrifices, all occult practices coming from all covens, all cults, all conclaves, and all cabals in the name of Jesus Christ, especially those groups, whether they be heathen or otherwise, coming under the umbrella of the Illuminati. We bind your finances. We bind your mechanisms of action. We bind your plans. We bind your adjusted plans in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your agendas. We bind your manifestos in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain it all with eternal chains under darkness, sending it into the spiritual cage. Feet of Jesus for immediate judgment. Thank you, Lord, for the righteous judge's judgment. We take authority, dominion, and power over all Spanish witchcraft and all Haitian and Jamaican witchcraft in Jesus' name. Returning to sender. Breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ. Binding superficial religious acts and every act of sexual sin. Binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells in Jesus' name. Binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them. Binding all magical language, magic signs, magical patterns, even in numbering. Binding synchrony in Jesus' name. Binding and caging Poseidon and all underwater spirits, demons, and entities in Jesus' name. And stripping them of their crowns, their powers, and their thrones in Jesus' name. Returning them to Jesus Christ. Binding all conjurations and summonings of demons. Binding Jewish black magic mysticism, magic writings, magic artifacts, binding the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells, and potions. Binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception in Jesus' name. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending, the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, enchantments, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirits and works of the oppressors, and the spirit and the children of disobedience. Binding martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain them with eternal chains and darkness and send them into the spiritual cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all demonic, blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. We bind all sacrifices from queens of the coast in the name of Jesus. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, nature worship, unyielding, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, idle mind, unfocused mind, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We bind all food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' holy name. We take authority, dominion, and power over spirits of Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Basilech, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, and On, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72 in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness. We send you into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, cold and hot spots, and psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, pledge, pact, and their powers in Jesus' name. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grips, Freemasonry and their charters and the rituals of every secret society and the affiliated organizations in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Lord, glory and honor. Amen. And we return these afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind insanity, pride, the work of errors and foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others. We return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief. And we ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender, all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies, TV shows, and their effects on our minds and our spirits, binding the unreality of the Hallmark and escapism channels and TV shows, binding the pathways to sins to the mind in Jesus' name. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Thank you, Lord. We take authority, dominion, and power over every demon that has followed us, was sent to us, or transferred to us, or tried to hitchhike on us. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command them that they must go into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We take authority, dominion, and power over any demons coming through the computer lines, or through our cell phones. And we return them and any curses right back where they came from in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. The peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere. We pray for all imprisoned Christians, Lord, those that are being persecuted, those that are being falsely imprisoned, and we lift up to you the January 6th prisoners. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Thank you, Lord. We send back all division back to where it came from in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus and our mode of transportation. We lift it to the Lord and ask him to bless our transport from one place to the other. We take authority, dominion, and power over demons of the road, animals, even objects that cross our path, and reckless drivers in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have dispatched your angels ahead of us to protect us in the name of Jesus. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we cover ourselves and our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over demons of the day and night, bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, any dream or any vision at all. Or anything or anyone trying to get into our dreams, we command them to stay away. We thank you, Lord, for the wall of fire that protects us, the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We thank you for Psalm 91 and other scriptures that promise us your protection. We pull out all sharp pains, and we return them to the sender. We send the witchcraft back in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull out all voodoo pins now in Jesus' name. We pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, voodoo, witchcraft, and anything else sent to us by the enemy camp, and we send it right back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We cut, burn, and destroy silver cords and ley lines of the ungodly description and sever from ourselves all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all other forms of agreement with the demonic realm. We terminate the agreement in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We destroy, tear down, pull down, and wreck walls of protection, shields of protection around shamans, globalists, nanotechnology, Satanists, wizards, warlocks, and witches, sorcerers, divinators, and workers of evil in Jesus' name. We break the power of all of their charms, love fetishes, psychic thoughts and prayers, death spirits, bewitchments, potions, witchcraft, jinxes, brain frequency meditation, mind control, voodoo, magic, sorcery, sickness, pain, and torment, all psychic warfare and power, spirits of destruction, incantations, chantings, ungodly blessings, incense and candle burnings, hoodoo, crystals, root works, tribal rituals, and sins, and everything else that they muster up to send against your people, Father. We return it from whence it came in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus erasing any mark that the enemy has placed on any part of us, spirit, soul, body, will, emotion. We thank you, Lord, and we pull out all the fiery darts where there is pain in our body in Jesus' name, and we send it back. We send back spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery, all of those evil spirits that have been sent against us. We take authority, dominion, and power over demons attacking us when we come to be served in public places. We bind spirits of blindness, binding the spirits of bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate. We thank you, Lord, for the good that you are doing. There is much that you are doing. We thank you, Lord. And we ask you to convict these persons in their hearts unto repentance. And we pray, Lord, that these souls will choose to come out of darkness and be saved. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we thank you for what you're doing in us in Jesus' name. Well, now, I finally remembered what I was going to share with you. You know, strange things happen at the post office. They do. Strange things happen at the post office. I was at the post office, minding my own business. And as I was backing out to leave, I saw someone walking out of the post office that has known me since I was in the womb. Yes, this person has known me since I was in the womb. In fact, this is one of the persons that I talked with when I started talking at 6 months old. So I pulled in my car so that her driver couldn't just drive her off, and I got out of my car and went to her side of the car. And I tapped on the window, and she let it down, and I greeted her. And we got to talk for a couple of minutes, and it was enough for her to know that I'm doing well and she's doing well, and I'm happy to see her, and she was happy to see me. And while we were chit-chatting for just a couple of minutes, she mentioned to me that she went to church Sunday. And of all the people that showed up, my brother showed up, and he joined the church. God is real interesting at the post office. I want to thank the Lord for working on my brother to get him as far as he has gotten. my brother will allow the Lord to take him the rest of the distance. Amen? Amen. It's amazing the good news that you can run into at the post office. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody, praise the Lord. See, when things look like, well, Lord, we're going through this again, you know? Just hang in there. God has some sweet little nuggets tucked in all along the way to keep you encouraged and to keep you going strong. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I want to thank the Lord for that good news. See, I told you God's been doing things all throughout this ministry. Amen? He's been doing things in people's lives while we were busy doing what he told us to do. Amen? So just keep doing what God's telling you to do. He'll take care of the rest. He's a prayer answering God. Amen? Amen. Good. I'm glad. So there. He's coming to your post office. Amen. So tonight, maybe some of you need to go to the post office more often. I just don't know. I just don't know. Amen. So, our featured proverb for this evening service is Proverbs 13. And our verse for meditation comes from the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Amen. And our featured ebook is Spirit of Rejection, Deliverance Root Systems. Amen. Amen. Well, we're finally going to talk about this subject. We were going to talk about it a little while ago, but we had to pause for a station break. Amen? Amen. Now we can do looking for an answer. Looking for an answer. Well, thank you, Brother Darren. That's encouragement. Amen. You know, saints, there are times when you have prayed and you have fasted and you have obeyed and you have praised and you have thanked and you have adored the Lord and you've done what he wants you to do. It's when you spend your time in obedience and you let God do the rest. Amen. There is a time to let God do the rest. Amen. I believe that's all the time, but some of us are still learning that. Saints, many Christians are looking for answers to their prayers and are still looking. It benefits us to check for any barriers or obstacles or snags or obstructions or drawbacks or hindrances to the answers of our request of God. I'll say that again. It benefits us to check for any barriers or obstacles or snags or obstructions or drawbacks or hindrances to the answers of our request of God. Saints, it is not God's will for you to live with any unanswered prayer. I'll say that again. Saints, it is not God's will for you to live with any unanswered prayer. God is raising up a people today who will build a living memorial to him through the testimonies of answered prayers. So, join me in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So God is saying, I answer prayer. I'm not short on power. My reach is not shortened, that I can't save. Every prayer you've prayed, I have it recorded. He said that his ear isn't heavy, so that it can't hear. He doesn't have dullness of hearing. He doesn't need an audiologist. He can hear extremely well. I can prove that, but we won't go there tonight. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That's why we need to keep repenting, amen? Since the arm is an emblem of power, shortness of the hand would signify diminished power, and the length of the hand or arm, great power. In history, long-handed referred to great power. So God is saying that his power is not diminished, so that he is unable to save, nor is he becoming deaf. He is not hard of hearing, so that he cannot hear our prayers. The Lord isn't too weak to save. He can hear us when we call. The trouble arises when our sins work as barriers and hindrances. The trouble arises when our sins work as barriers and hindrances to disrupt our flow with God. Our sins have cut us off from God. In verse 2, God is clear. He says our iniquity, injustice, or lacking in moral or spiritual principles is an issue. Yes, that's what he's saying. Saints, we were made for the glory of God. Sin causes us to fall short of that mark. Transgression refers to the crossing of the line. There's a line between righteousness and unrighteousness. God has given us his law, his word, and we cross over into lawlessness. God has given us his law, his word, and we cross over into lawlessness. Iniquity is a violation of the right or duty that mankind is under obligation to do. I'll give you that again. Somebody missed it. Iniquity is a violation. Yes, it's a violation for sure. Of the right or duty that mankind is under obligation to do. Can also be a wicked act, immoral conduct, or practice. These violations are harmful or offensive to society, and especially to God. Crooked, twisted, and the crooked consequences of our crooked choices. We have authority, dominion, and power over our choices. Well, how do you know that? Well, the demoniac, the man from Gadarene, the devils had control of him, complete control of him, until Jesus showed up on the scene. And at that point, that man, no matter how tormented he was, he used what will he had left, and he chose to go to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. God lets people carry the consequences of their own bad choices. Yes, he does. In Psalm 51, the repentant one is saying to God, cleanse me, cleanse me. He's asking God to cleanse him of his twistedness or crookedness, knowing what is right but doing otherwise. So, saints, our sin or our tendency to stray from the Lord is a hindrance to receiving answers. Mm-hmm. Amen. Psalm 66, beginning with verse 18. Psalm 66, beginning with verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen? So here, we see that the repentant one is acknowledging that if he holds on to iniquity in his heart, God won't hear him. He knows better than to do that. But God had heard me, tended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. Why? Because I didn't really deserve for him to listen to me, and I know it. Nor has he turned his mercy away from me. Why? Because I didn't deserve that either. It's not because we're so deserving. No, it is not. It's because God is merciful. It's because God is love. It's because God compassionate that we are not consumed. Amen. I believe if we actually had time and took the time to list all the iniquities of the place or the country where we live, we would find so much iniquity that we would be shocked that we're not all already in hell. It's not because we're so wonderful. It's because God is wonderful. That's why we're still here. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we do not fully confess our transgressions and sins, the Lord will not hear us. You can't keep that pride in your heart and expect God to respond to it. Why? Because God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He insists that we drop our pride and submit to him. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. You know, saints, one of the sneakiest sins is the one you just commit whenever you just commit it. And you don't immediately repent of it. You just sort of, okay, I'll get to that in the back of your head, but you don't. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Can't resist the devil until you do. You cannot resist the devil effectively until you submit yourself to God. He says that we're supposed to submit ourselves to him. Then resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. But first, we must submit ourselves to God. If we ever expect to resist the devil and see him flee. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, that would be us, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. T-U-R-N. That means you have to go in a different direction and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's right. The pride's got to go. The vanity has got to go. Amen? The pride and the vanity have to go. Needs be go. Because until you get rid of them and humble yourself, you can't move to the and pray part. So the humility must come first before you can and pray. And seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Some people are having a hard time turning from their wicked ways, and they don't understand why. Well, you have to follow the prescription the way it was given. He said, first, you have to humble yourself. Amen. Amen. First Peter. Chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you ever do evil? Check the scriptures. You might be shocked. What evil is God mentioning? Well, I'll give you a good example that we've talked about before. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 23, for rebellion, it's evil. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God wants you to do this. You don't want to do it, and you don't. In fact, you outright do just what you feel like doing. Praise the Lord. I think we all understand this quite well. In fact, you plan to do something totally contrary to what he said for you to do. Amen. Is as, the same as, the sin of witchcraft. And you're trying to scratch your head and say it can't be that bad, but God says it is. And stubbornness. You've heard that word before. Stubbornness is as iniquity. We just talked about iniquity. And idolatry. Why idolatry? Because whatever it is you don't want to change about, you have made that your God instead of Jesus Christ. You are now serving your own stubbornness. And we've already talked about the idolatry of self-will. We've talked about that at great length. Why? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. You rejected whatever God wants, you rejected it. I mean, as hard as you can. But that's not the thing to do, saints. When you find yourself in rebellion, the first thing to do is get out of it. About faith. Go in the other direction. You can't quite figure out how to get going. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you because you're trying to repent and get out of rebellion. He will help you if you're serious. Okay, you're stubborn. Change your mind. You have the ability to change your mind from one decision to another one. Yes, you can. You can bind your own stubbornness. You can tell it that it has no dominion over you, and you're not going to keep honoring it. Yes, you can. Amen. There are people, there are saints, who have devious qualities. They think it's okay to pay lip service to a person in authority and then proceed to do whatever they want to do. That's sin. It's serious sin because that sin can get you killed, as in cemetery. Amen? So we don't want to do that because if you keep sowing that, you're going to eventually reap. So we don't want to do that now, do we? So, saints, before deciding that you are clear of all these sins, allow the Holy Spirit to check you. He might not agree with your conclusion. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. See, you'll be sitting there having a disagreement with the Lord just thinking you're disagreeing. But there comes a point where you're not just disagreeing, you've begun to walk in rebellion. Praise the Lord. It is the truth. It is indeed the truth. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to give you a good example. It just hit me in the head. You are determined that a certain person in your life, an enemy to you. However, you have direct scripture telling you that that person and their position in your life is just the opposite. Now, let me tell you, either you're going to believe what God says or you're going to stay there in your rebellion. And the longer you stay in your stubbornness and your rebellion and your idolatry and your iniquity, the closer you get into the witchcraft part. It's extremely dangerous. And I'm here to warn you to get out of that as fast as you can. Because what you're saying is the scripture that tells you that that's not God's point of view. You're calling God a liar on that. And it is not possible for God to lie. Amen. You think this is your spouse. But God says in his word that if you found this, you found a good thing and obtained favor from him. Well, you can't decide that it's not that way because God cannot lie. I taught you in Amos 3:3 that two can't walk together lest they be agreed. You can't walk with Jesus unless you're going to agree with him. You might be having a hard time getting there, but you just need to keep pressing in. You must needs be agreeing with him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So you can't stay in your pride and say, I'm right. I still think this. I still think that. At some point, you got to turn in your I thinks to God and say, okay, this isn't working for me. Let's get rid of that part, the I think part, because it's not right. And it's keeping me out of agreement with you. I want to let go of that. Amen. Amen. It can be done. You got to want to please Jesus more than you want to have what you think. Well, I think, no, he's already told you that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts and his ways are higher than your ways. So what do you mean you think? Amen? If you've got the wrong impression of someone and you are required by scripture to walk with that person in certain ways, you need to be at the feet of Jesus getting your mind and your heart changed. Because you are in sin, because you are in violation of the scripture. And once you go there, you can't turn around and go back because you feel like it. You can't turn around and go back to the way it was because you feel like it. You need to tell that devil, I'm not listening to you anymore. Because you've already gotten me in enough trouble. You need to bind the mouth of that devil You need to repent of the lies and deception that you have allowed yourself to receive in your heart, in your mind, and in your life. And you walk around acting as if deception is truth. That is a crime. That's a felony. That's a felony. Okay. We're still trying to work on our hypocrisy, our insecurities, and our outright lie. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with God and we're still walking around in darkness as if we weren't, we're lying. And we're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light, just like he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now you have to decide if you want to stay in verse 6 or if you want to transition to verse 7. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's not the devil doing it. It's us doing it. And the truth is not in us. So we have to decide if we're going to walk in Christ or if we're going to walk in agreement with Satan. It's up to us to make the choice. Wrong motive is a hindrance to answers. Wrong motive. Wrong motive. You know, some people have strongholds in their lives. They base their relationship to someone that's presently in their life from situations that happened with somebody else in their past. That's wrong. That's sin. That's a crime. You can't do that. Okay, let me give you this. I'll just make up a hypothetical situation. If your dad was a drunkard, what you should do if you're a young lady is ask the Lord to keep you from being attracted to another drunkard, because the propensity is for you on your own in your flesh to choose another drunkard. Why? Because you love the first drunkard. And so you have inordinate affections toward drunkards. However, let's say you allow the Lord to choose your spouse for you, and you marry them. You cannot take the drama, pain, and the labels, we'll call it that, that are attached to that old relationship with your dad being a drunkard to the new spouse. Why? They're two completely different persons. You can't transfer all of those feelings from that person to your spouse. It's wrong. If it weren't your father, it was another boyfriend, you can't transfer all that drama from the old boyfriend to your new husband. It's wrong. It's a sin. You're wrong for that. You see, it's important to have your closet emptied out before you go to the altar. The past has got to be the past. It's got to be under the blood, and you've got to be free of it. or else you're not going to be able to love the new person properly. Somewhere in the back of your mind, you will have superimposed the old relationship on the new one. And that's a crime. Does everyone understand what I'm trying to explain? Amen? It just happens that way. We'll call it that. It's got some names to it. Psychologists have names, all kinds of names. But you understand what I'm saying. You can't take the drama that you had with your mother and dump it on your wife. Okay? Amen. So if you happen to be wrong, feet of Jesus are still available. Amen. The mercy seat is still there. So where was I? Oh, okay, I know. Wrong motives are a hindrance to answers. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Ye lust and have not. You want it, but you don't have it. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you still don't have it. Why? Because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motive, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is at war, enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, I know you've been in miracle for a few years now, and in your opinion, all of your worldliness is gone. Check in with the Holy Spirit and see if he agrees. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You see, after God has saved your soul, washed you clean, adopted you as his own, given you an inheritance in Christ, and then you turn right back around and act like the one that goes back to his vomit, something's wrong with that program. You see, loyalty is an important word in your relationship with the Lord. Faithfulness is important in your relationship with the Lord. You won't ask God for it, but you'll do all kinds of other little ugly things to get it. Why? Because worldliness is still in you. You haven't let go. Mm-hmm. We ought to be sincere of heart and admit that we have a host of evil desires within us. This scripture is a fervent rebuke for worldliness. Worldly persons, as far as saints are concerned, name the name of Christ and behave just like the world. They seek the same materialism and vanity that sinners pursue, calling it prosperity, while their soul is lacking in holiness. The Christian is to live free from the cares of the world. Also, to abstain from gaining in the eyes of the world at the expense of their souls. That's what Jesus teaches. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, some people still don't have the right value system. They may not have grown up learning the right value system. They grew up with a worldly value system and a worldly point of view. But when you come to Jesus, you leave all of that at the foot of the cross, every bit of it. You cannot get up and take part of it with you. You know, there's a scripture that's written. It says, Demas has left me because he loved this present world. I think that's about how it said. I probably just crucified it pretty good. But I'll find it in a second for you. Amen. I mean, this is a serious scripture. Amen. It's 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken or abandoned me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. He came to the conclusion that it cost him too much to follow Jesus. He had to give up too much. And he loved this present world more than he loved God. And you say, well, that, how can that be? Well, it is. Everybody that puts their hands in the air when we all say hallelujah don't love God equally. Amen. It's the real truth. Amen. Saints ought not to tempt others to sin as the world does. That's right. Saints ought not to tempt others to sin as the world does. A stumbling block refers to something or someone who keeps another from a relationship with God. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that person through whom the stumbling block comes. Just as it would be better to chop off one's hand than to sin, in the kingdom perspective, saints ought not to distract others from what God has purposed that one to do. Amen. 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 Saints are not to be of the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them my word, Jesus said, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you're still of the world, you're still not in Christ. Hello? Because you can't have it both ways. Among those, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. That's really where it is. Saints are not to love their life in the world. Some people are all caught up with their present life in this world. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 25. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 25. And it reads, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Amen. Jesus doesn't play. He gets right to the point. Instead, we are delivered from the world and to be crucified to the world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Amen. That's the God point of view. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Amen. We are to shine as lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. We are to shine as lights in the world. That means we stand out because we're not a part of the world. We're in the world, but not of it. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I think we can agree that that's where we are. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to deny the lust of the world and live godly in it. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Amen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, there it is. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, seriously, righteously, and godly in this present world. You get there. We are to be unspotted from the world. Not to be friends with the world. James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. We are to be unspotted from the world, not being friends with the world. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and himself unspotted from the world. No worldliness. No worldliness. No. You know at the sports bar there's plenty of worldliness, so what are you doing there? Amen. There's a lot of it on the golf course, too. Wow. Did she say that? James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that the friendship of the world is at war, enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Praise the Lord. Our escape from the pollution and corruption should be meaningful to us. It ought to be important to us that we've escaped the pollution and corruption of the world. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I desire this, I desire that, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that, because I want it. And I'm going to make a way to get it. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If you go back into the world, you're going to end up worse than you were before you came to Christ. That's very dangerous. Very, very, very dangerous. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Saints, we are called to be like Christ in the world. We are called to be like Christ in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, we're the same way in this world. You know, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he didn't fall for any of it. Neither are we to do so. We must grow in grace to overcome the world, because we've been chosen out of the world, not to be conformed to the world, but rather to be dead to the ways of the world. Dead, D-E-A-D, as in cemetery dead, to the ways of the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. First John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We turn in at the foot of the cross the world. We receive in its place the faith of God. Amen? Keep loving wrong, because wrong will do you in. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 19. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. I've chosen you out of the world, for the world hateth you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, taste not, touch not, handle not, which all perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You see, you're dead to Halloween. I'm just going to say it that way. You can add whatever other holiday you want to tack on. You're dead to that. You're dead to Christmas trees and ornaments, all those lights, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So why are you still going through those hoops? Amen. You understood. Now, let's look at unbelief. Praise God. Let's look at unbelief. James chapter 1, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. All of these things are hindrances and blockages to answered prayer. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I think I want to go back a little further there. Because, amen. I'll start at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you don't know what to do, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're here 1 minute and you're vacillating over there the next minute, you're just going to keep doing this over and over till you decide to stop. God said, let me know when you make up your mind. Amen? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You're going to have to learn to stand in faith, believing. Saints, if you want to know what God wants you to do, it is required that you ask him. When you don't have any idea of what to do, ask him. So often, saints do not have an answer because they do not ask God. When God gives you plain instructions and you do not follow the instructions, what is this called, miracle? Do you do this? Do you? Is glad to supply your need of an answer. He brings an abundant supply of truth and wisdom to all who ask him. God, unlike humans, is not resentful. God requires that we actually expect him to give us an answer. God expects us to display resolve instead of being uncertain or doubtful in our minds. Uncertainty and doubtfulness can act like the waves of the ocean, driven and tossed by the wind, choppy 1 minute, boisterous the next. Why? Okay? Because every decision you make will be fickle and not grounded in faith. If we don't ask in faith, believing, to be answered by God, we should not expect God to give us solid answers and solutions. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, M-U-S-T, believe, B-E-L-I-E-V-E, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, trusting and believing God and his word, not by sight, not what's right in your face, not what appears to be. Romans chapter 14. Give you this. It's at the end of verse 23. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Praise God. The word speaks for itself. Psalm 23, verse, I'm sorry, correction, Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, verse 13. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The God of all hope comes to the rescue, saints. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith, confident trust and belief in God. Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. If you're going to commit it to him, that means you stop directing it. Amen. Turn it over to him. Trust also in him. Then you're going to have to trust him. You commit it to him, you give it to him, and then you have to trust him. And he shall bring it to pass. Amen. And he shall bring it to pass. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you'll play the word in your house 24/7. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Failure to ask in Jesus' name. Now, I know we all know that we're supposed to ask in Jesus' name, but in case there's someone listening who hasn't learned this yet, we'll share this with them. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning at verse 23. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning in verse, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing, Jesus speaking. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing, Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. That your joy may be full. Jesus said that in the day of his going back to the Father, you shall ask him nothing, but you shall ask the Father in my name. Verse 25. I'm still in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I'm on the next verse, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Okay, so in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, when you come up there, you have to address the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how this goes. That's what Jesus is saying to do. I have seen entries where people come in and they want to just prayers for my brother who broke his arm. affirmation. That is not a prayer. In the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, you must pray. You can't just list information and think that's a prayer. No, that's just information. That's not a prayer. In the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, you, the person typing, must pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, stating in a concise manner your request, and add a few scriptures that respond to your prayer request. That's how we do it here, for those that did not understand. Amen? So, verse 25. I'll start at verse 26. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. He's not telling you that he's going to turn around and say to the Father, oh, Father, they want this, that. No, that's not what he's saying. Verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. There it is. So, amen, miracle. We've talked quite a bit about this tonight, and you have quite a few scriptures, and feel free to go look them up. And we're going to move on with what God wants us to move on with. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is what we're going to do. All right. Let me see. Let me find it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a very direct word tonight. What are some of the hindrances to us receiving answers? Okay, we'll go down the list, Lord, and see where we fall. Amen. So we want to thank you for that, Lord. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge. Illegal marijuana dealers continue to be a danger to the public despite the sale of recreational cannabis being legalized in 2018. A Department of Health panel told Parliament this week, criminal activity involving the illicit sales of marijuana remains a major problem, the expert panel said in its legislative review of the 2018 Cannabis Act, as first reported by Blacklock's reporter. The panel's report found that criminal activity surrounding the sale of the drug remains an issue, despite the 95% decrease in the number of marijuana possession charges between 2017 and 2022. The report, which is part of a $1 million statutory review of the 2018 law, was authorized by a panel consisting of University of Toronto Professor Peter Selby, criminal lawyer Linda Levesick, University of Montreal Professor Patricia Conrad, Queen's University Associate Professor, somebody I can't pronounce, and former Trudeau Foundation CEO Morris Rosenberg. A particular concern highlighted by the report is that organized criminal networks may be using marijuana sales to fund more serious criminal activity, such as the trafficking of other illegal items, including firearms. Statistics Canada reported earlier this year that gun crime had increased by 8.9% from 2021 to 22 for a rate of 36.7 firearm-related crimes per 100,000 people, and noted that the province of Ontario, particularly the city of Toronto, was the main driver for the increase. Kate, that gun violence may be on the rise in the city, with 9 people killed and 26 injured so far this year, compared to one death and 22 injuries during the same period in 2023. Along with organized crime and criminal gangs, the review noted the prevalence of illegal storefronts opening on First Nations reserves, as well as unauthorized online retailers, as an ongoing issue. The panel said law enforcement has had some success in operations against the illegal import and export of cannabis products, but added that there has been limited law enforcement action to address illicit cannabis sales within Canada. The absence of consequences or any fear of consequences will lead to criminal actors to continue their activities, resulting in harm to individuals and communities, the report stated. The panel recommended law enforcement focus on addressing illicit sales and collecting information to determine what motivates consumers to purchase from illegal sources rather than legal vendors. Police should also provide information about potential health risks of illegal products to consumers, the panel said. Canadian marijuana businesses have been struggling for years, with at least 34 marijuana businesses declaring bankruptcy since 2020. Government regulation and taxes were major contributing factors, the report found. One corporation, Canopy Growth, laid off 800 workers last year due to long growth issues. Health Canada responded to the trend by saying it would look for feedback from the industry to possibly relax some regulatory practices and make regulation more efficient. Price is also noted as a possible factor for consumers turning to illegal sources, but the Department of Health panel said lowering prices at legal vendors could encourage more consumption. The panel has previously noted in its What We Heard report published last October that as many as 40% of young adults aged 20 to 24 report that they have used cannabis products in the last 12 months, and that of those aged 15 or older, 22% had used the drug in the last year, an increase of 2 million people overall since 2017. Statistics Canada has reported similar figures, with the agency's 2023 National Cannabis Survey indicating that more than one-third of Canadian adults aged 18 to 45 used cannabis within the last 12 months, despite the age for legal cannabis sales being set at 19. The What We Heard report also indicated that 4 in 10 students from grades 7 to 12 reported that cannabis was easy to procure, although most were likely to obtain the drug through illegal means rather than legal storefronts. Health impacts on children using marijuana are also a concern, according to the Canadian Medical Association Journal. The publication has previously said that legalization of marijuana has led to more children ending up in hospital due to cannabis-related issues. Alongside the growing use of cannabis, a study published last year found evidence the use of other drugs such as cocaine and methamphetamine are also on the rise after wastewater was examined in 7 major Canadian cities. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Where are we going? We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning. On February 14, 2022, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the War Measures Emergencies Act in response to the Freedom Convoy protest. The move allowed the federal government to enact wide-sweeping but temporary powers to help officials crack down on protesters' access to funds, grant the RCMP jurisdiction to enforce local laws, designate critical infrastructure and services, and impose fines and imprisonments on persons who refuse to leave the protest zone. On February 7, 2022, eco-fascist Mark Carney, former governor of the Bank of England, wrote an article which was published in the Globe and Mail. I think that's what that said. The goals of the leadership of the so-called Freedom Convoy were clear from the start: to remove from power the government that Canadians elected less than 6 months ago. Their blatant treachery was dismissed as comic, which meant many didn't take them as seriously as they should have. Now in its second week, no one should have any doubt. This is sedition. That's a word I never thought I'd use in Canada. It means incitement of resistance to or insurrection against lawful authority. Those who are still helping to extend this occupation must be identified and punished to the full force of the law. Drawing the line means choking off the money that financed this occupation. It's time to end the sedition in Ottawa by enforcing the law and following the money. Mark Carney, February 7, 2024. A week after Carney's article on February 15, 2022, using powers granted under the War Measures Emergencies Act, the federal government directed banks and other financial institutions to stop doing business with people associated with the anti-vaccine mandate convoy occupying the nation's capital. According to the regulations, financial institutions were required to monitor and halt all transactions that funnel money to demonstrators. On January 23, 2024, the federal court ruled in favor of the citizens who participated in the peaceful 2022 Freedom Convoy in Ottawa. The court ruled that the decision to use the War Measures Emergencies Act to respond to the Freedom Convoy was unreasonable, excessive, and violated the Charter of Rights and Freedoms to expression and security against unreasonable searches and seizures. About 14 minutes after the federal court ruling was released, Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland announced the Liberal government plans to appeal the federal court's decision. It came out that officials did not read the judge's thorough 36-page ruling before announcing an appeal. Western Standard said 3 weeks after the ruling on February 14, 2024, law firm Loberg Echter submitted a notice of action and a statement of claim to the Ontario Superior Court of Justice in Ottawa, thus commencing proceedings on behalf of 20 victims of the Trudeau's government's unconstitutional misuse of the provisions of the Emergency Act in February 2022. Don't you all forget now that Biden took a trip up there to try to encourage the man to do what he did. Today at Loberg Echter LLP filed the statement of claim in the matter of Edward Cornell et al. Versus Justin Trudeau et al., setting out the claims being advanced in respect of the Trudeau's government unconstitutional actions against these plaintiffs. The Trudeau regime's victims are seeking compensation and relief for the unconstitutional actions of the Liberal government, certain police agencies, Canadian financial institutions, and other defendants. In a press release, which has the full statement of claim attached, the lawyers acting on behalf of the victims said, "A democracy is only as strong as its commitment to the rule of law. And when a government decides that it's not bound by the law of Canada, the resulting unlawful action not only breaks the law, it undermines and degrades the very democracy that put that government in power in the first place. These unlawful actions also undermine the integrity of our community and tells Canadian citizens that they can no longer rely on the government to protect our liberty and freedom, but instead They should be fearful of a government that considers themselves unrestrained by the rule of law. This is not about any single instance of free speech or any particular protest. It specifically does not matter how anyone feels about the Freedom Convoy protest. What matters is the obligation the government has to the people of this nation to obey the law. This litigation is about that obligation. The statement of claim alleges that the defendants acted unlawfully and in breach of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and the financial institution defendants acted in breach of legislation, contract, and common law when they seized, froze, or otherwise interfered with the financial services, private property, products, and information of the plaintiffs. As reported by Western Standard, the plaintiffs are seeking $2.2 million each in damages for having their rights violated over the enactment. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. Now, we are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning AT&T, a telecommunications company, revealed that a data breach had exposed the personal information of 73 million current and former customers, including Social Security numbers on the dark web. According to TechCrunch, the company disclosed in a press release that the sensitive data had been made available online about 2 weeks ago. While AT&T has made this determination, it is not yet known whether the data in those fields originated from AT&T or one of its vendors. With respect to the balance of the data set, which includes personal information such as Social Security numbers, the source of the data is still being assessed, the company stated. AT&T has launched an investigation into the incident with the support of internal and external cybersecurity experts. Based preliminary analysis, the data set appears to be from 2019 or earlier, impacting approximately 7.6 million current AT&T account holders and approximately 65.4 million former account holders, AT&T added. According to TechCrunch, the telecommunications company reset passcodes for millions of impacted accounts following notification of the data leak. Passcodes, typically four-digit PINs, serve as an extra security measure. AT&T has not uncovered any proof that the breach was due to unauthorized access. Moreover, it believes that the leaked data did not contain personal financial details or call records. The information varied by customer and account, but may have included full name, email address, mailing address, phone number, social security number, date of birth, AT&T account number, and passcode, it reported. So much for privacy. AT&T noted that it is in communication with impacted customers via email and mail and will offer complimentary identity theft and credit monitoring services. Customers were encouraged to set up fraud alerts through the National Credit Bureaus. As of today, the company stated, this incident has not had a material impact on AT&T's operations. According to TechCrunch, the telecommunications company reset passcodes for millions of impacted accounts following notification of the data leak. Okay, I read that part. Moreover, they're still saying, now they haven't changed this tune since last week, moreover, that the leaked data did not contain personal financial details or call records. but they can't guarantee that. A company spokesperson stated at the time a small percentage of impacted customers also had exposure of rate plan name, past due amount, monthly payment amount, various monthly charges, and or minutes used. Even if the information was 7 years old, that's too much information to be floating out to unknown persons or entities. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning the House Judiciary Committee and its select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government released an interim staff report titled Financial Surveillance in the United States, How Federal Law Enforcement Commandeered Financial Institutions to Spy on Americans. Wow. The report reveals alarming evidence of federal law enforcement engaging in broad financial surveillance and prying into the private transactions of American consumers. This surveillance, not predicated on specific evidence, or was it predicated on specific evidence of criminal conduct, targeted terms and transactions related to core political and religious expressions protected by the Constitution. Federal law enforcement, including the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, and the FBI, facilitated multiple back-channel discussions with financial institutions to gather Americans' private financial information. These discussions involve some of the largest financial institutions in the United States, such as Barclays, U.S. Bank, Charles Schwab, HSBC, Bank of America, PayPal, and many others. Tactics included keyword filtering of transactions, targeting terms like MAGA and Trump, as well as purchases of books, religious texts, firearms-related items, and recreational stores like Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, and Dick's Sporting Goods. Smile. They don't need candid camera. This surveillance extended beyond criminal suspicion, likely encompassing millions of Americans with conservative viewpoints or Second Amendment interests. Court also details the existence of a web portal run by the Domestic Security Alliance Council, a public-private partnership led by the FBI's Office of Private Sector and the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Intelligence and Analysis. This portal appears to have shared intelligence products with financial institutions that were used to identify individuals who fit the profile of criminal and domestic violent extremists, often because of their conservative political views or other constitutionally protected activity. Federal law enforcement used these reports and other materials they shared with financial institutions to commandeer their databases and conduct sweeping searches of individuals not suspected of committing any crimes without a warrant in order to identify individuals making certain suspicious transactions. The pattern of financial surveillance uncovered in the report raises serious concerns about federal law enforcement and financial institutions' commitment to respecting Americans' privacy rights and fundamental civil liberties. So we want to thank the righteous judge for his adjudications concerning such. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning Never has our future been more unpredictable. Never have we depended so much on political forces that cannot be trusted to follow the rules of common sense and self-interest. Forces that look like sheer insanity if judged by the standards of other centuries. Hannah Arendt Day. Day by day, I'm sorry, her last name is Arendt. Day by day, tyranny is rising as freedom falls. The U.S. military is being used to patrol subway stations and police the U.S.-Mexican border, supposedly in the name of national security. The financial sector is being used to carry out broad surveillance of Americans' private financial data, while the entertainment sector is being tapped to inform on video game enthusiasts with a penchant for violent, potentially extremist content, all in an alleged effort to uncover individuals subscribing to anti-government sentiments. Public and private venues are being equipped with sophisticated surveillance technologies, including biometric and facial recognition software, to track Americans wherever they go and whatever they do. Same satellite. With powerful overhead surveillance cameras will render privacy null and void. This is the state of our nation that no one is talking about, not the politicians, not the courts, and not Congress. The government's power grabs are growing bolder while the rights of the citizenry continue to be trampled underfoot. Hitler is hiding in the shadows, while the citizenry, the only ones powerful enough to stem the authoritarian tide that threatens to lay siege to our constitutional republic, remain easily distracted and conveniently diverted by political theatrics and news cycles that change every few days. This sorry truth has persisted no matter which party has controlled Congress or the White House. These are dangerous times. Yet while the presidential candidates talk at length about the dangers posed by the opposition party, the U.S. government still poses the gravest threat to our freedoms and way of life. Police shootings of unarmed individuals, invasion surveillance, side blood draws, roadside strip searches, SWAT team raids gone awry, the military-industrial complex's costly wars, pork barrel spending, pre-crime laws, civil asset forfeiture, fusion centers, militarization, armed drones, smart policing carried out by AI robots, courts that march in lockstep with the police state, schools that function as indoctrination centers, bureaucrats that keep the deep state in power. These are just a few of the ways in which the police state continues to flex its muscles in a show of force intended to intimidate anyone still clinging to the antiquated notion that the government answers to we the people. Consider for yourself the state of our nation. Americans have little protection against police abuse. The police and other government agents have been generally empowered to probe, poke, pinch, taser, seize, search, strip, and generally manhandle anyone they see fit in almost any circumstance, all with the general blessing of the courts. It is no longer unusual to hear about incidents in which police shoot unarmed individuals first and ask questions later. What is increasingly common, however, is the news that the officers involved in these incidents get off with little more than a slap on the hand. Americans are little more than pocketbooks to fund the police state. If there is any absolute maximum by which the federal government seems to operate, it is that the American taxpayer always gets ripped off. This is true whether you're talking about taxpayers being forced to fund high-priced weaponry that will be used against us, endless wars that do little for our safety or our freedoms, or bloated government agencies with their secret budget. covert agendas, and clandestine activity. Americans are no longer innocent until proven guilty. We once operated under the assumption that you were innocent until proven guilty, due in large part to rapid advances in technology and a heightened surveillance culture. The burden of proof has shifted so that the right might be considered innocent until proven guilty has been usurped by a new norm in which all citizens are suspects. Indeed, the government, in cahoots with the corporate state, has erected the ultimate suspect society. In such an environment, we are all potentially guilty of some wrongdoing or other. Americans no longer have a right to self-defense. While the courts continue to disagree over the exact nature of the rights protected by the Second Amendment, the government itself has made its position extremely clear. When it comes to gun rights in particular and the rights of the citizenry overall, the U.S. government has adopted a do-what-I-say-not-what-I-do mindset. Nowhere is this double standard more evident than in the government's attempts to arm itself to the teeth, all the while viewing as suspect anyone who dares to legally own a gun, let alone use one in self-defense. Indeed, while it still technically remains legal to own a firearm in America, possessing one can now get you pulled over, searched, arrested, subjected to all manner of surveillance, treated as a suspect without ever having committed a crime, shot at, and killed. Americans no longer have a right to private property. If government agents can invade your home, break down your doors, kill your dog, damage your furnishings, and terrorize your family, your property is no longer private and secure. It belongs to the government. Likewise, if government officials can find and arrest you for growing vegetables in your front yard, praying with your friends in your living room, installing solar panels on your roof, and raising chickens in your backyard, you're no longer the owner of your property, including if the electric corporation of your town, whoever supplies your electricity, wants to come out and change your meter and there's something about the meter they want to install that you don't like. Well, if you protest too long, what the office will do is just call a policeman out to your house and stand over the situation and see to it that the meter is installed on your property, because they'll tell you that this part of your property belongs to the electric company and not you. And basically, they're going to manhandle you anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it. How about that? Try that one on. Wow, by the way, they spend $75,000 on a party. A party. The electric company is owned by the citizens of that municipality. The citizens did not approve the party nor the expenditure. Think about it. Americans no longer have a say about what their children are exposed to in school. Incredibly, the government continues to insist that parents essentially forfeit their rights when they send their children to public school. This growing tension over whether young people, especially those in the public schools, are essentially wards of the state to do with as government officials deem appropriate, in defiance of the children's constitutional rights and those of their parents, is at the heart of almost every debate over educational programming, school discipline, and the extent to which parents have any say over their children's well-being in and out of school. Americans are powerless in the face of militarized public forces. With the local police agencies acquiring military-grade weaponry, training, and equipment better suited for the battlefield, Americans are finding their once peaceful communities transformed into military outposts patrolled by a standing military army. Americans no longer have a right to bodily integrity. The debate over bodily integrity covers broad territory, ranging from abortion and euthanasia to forced blood draws, biometric surveillance and basic health care, forced vaccinations, forced cavity searches, forced colonoscopies, forced blood draws, forced DNA extractions, force eye scans, force inclusion, and biometric databases. These are just a few ways in which Americans continue to be reminded that we have no control over what happens to our bodies during an encounter with government officials. Americans no longer have a right to the expectation of privacy. Despite the staggering number of revelations about government spying on Americans' phone calls, Facebook posts, Twitter tweets, Google searches, emails, bookstore and grocery purchases, bank statements, commuter toll records, etc., Congress, the president, and the courts have done little to nothing to counteract these abuses. Instead, they seem determined to accustom us to life in this electronic concentration camp. Americans no longer have a representative government. We have moved beyond the era of representative government and entered the era of authoritarianism, where all citizens are suspect, security trumps freedom, and so-called elected officials represent the interests of the corporate power elite. This topsy-turvy travesty of law and government has become America's new normal. America can no longer rely on the courts to mete out justice. Now, those of you who are not listening by phone, now might be a good time to switch over. Americans can no longer rely on the courts to mete out justice. The U.S. Supreme Court was intended to be an institution established to intervene and protect the people against the government and its agents when they overstep their bounds. Yet, through their deference to police power, preference for security over freedom, and evisceration of our most basic rights for the sake of order and expediency, the justices of the Supreme Court become the architects of the American police state in which we now live. While the lower courts have appointed themselves courts of order concerned primarily with advancing the government's agenda, no matter how unjust or illegal. I haven't even touched on the corporate state, the military-industrial complex, SWAT team raids, invasive surveillance technology, zero-tolerance policies in schools, over-criminalization, or privatized prisons, just to name a few. But what I have touched on should be enough to show that the landscape of our freedoms has already changed dramatically from what it once was and will no doubt continue to deteriorate unless Americans can find a way to wrest back control of their government and reclaim their freedoms. This steady slide towards tyranny, meted out by militarized local and federal police and legalistic bureaucrats, has been carried forward by each successive president over the past 70-plus years, regardless of their political affiliation. The more things change, the more they stay the same. We are walking a dangerous path right now. Having allowed the government to expand and exceed our reach, we find ourselves on the losing end of the tug of war over control of our country and our lives. And for as long as we let them, government officials will continue to trample on our rights, always justifying their actions as being for the good of the people. Yet the government can only go as far as we the people allow. Therein lies the problem. The pickle we find ourselves in speaks volumes about the nature of the government beast we have been saddled with and how it views the rights and sovereignty of we the people. Now, you don't hear a lot about sovereignty anymore. Sovereignty is a dusty, antiquated term that harkens back to an age when kings and emperors ruled with absolute power over a populace that had no rights. Americans turned the idea of sovereignty on its head when they declared their independence from Great Britain and rejected the absolute authority of King George III. In doing so, Americans claimed for themselves the right to self-government and established themselves as the ultimate authority and power. In other words, in America, we the people, sovereign citizens, call the shots. So when the government acts, it is supposed to do so at our bidding and on our behalf because we are the rulers. That's not exactly how it turned out, though, is it? In the 200-plus years since we boldly embarked on this experiment in self-government, we have been steadily losing ground to the government's brazen power grabs foisted upon us in the so-called name of national security. We have relinquished control over the most intimate aspects of our lives to government officials who, while they may occupy seats of authority, are neither wiser, smarter, or more in tune with our needs, more knowledgeable about our problems, nor more aware of what is really in our best interest. The government has knocked us off of our rightful throne. It has usurped our rightful authority. It has staged the ultimate coup. Its agents no longer even pretend that they answer to we the people. Worst of all, we the people have become desensitized to this constant undermining of our freedom. How do we reconcile the founders' vision of the government as an entity whose only purpose is to serve the people with the police state's insistence that the government is the supreme authority, that its power trumps that of the people themselves, and that it may exercise that power in any way it sees fit? That includes government agents crashing through doors, mass arrests, ethnic cleansing, racial profiling, indefinite detentions without due process, and internment camps. They cannot be reconciled. They are polar opposites. In a moment of reckoning where we will be forced to choose between the vision of what America was intended to be, a model for self-governance where power is vested in the people, and the reality of what it has become, a police state where power is vested in the government. We are repeating the mistakes of history, namely allowing a totalitarian state to reign over us. Former concentration camp inmate Hannah Arendt warned against this when she wrote, "No matter what the specifically national tradition or the particular spiritual source of its ideology, totalitarian government always transformed classes into masses, supplanted the party system not by one party dictatorships but by mass movement, shifting the center of power from the army to the police, and established a foreign policy openly directed toward world domination." So where does that leave us? Aldous Huxley predicted that eventually the government would find a way of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. Thank you for your patience, church. That required some breathing and reading. Praise the Lord. All right, Brother Marshall. We're ready for prayer.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. We give you praise, Father God. You told us to be careful for nothing over in Philippians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, thank you for your peace, Lord, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come with the Gentiles, we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Think of the promise of the Spirit, even as Father Abraham was able to receive from Melchizedek. And Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. So we cast all of our cares upon you, Lord Jesus, and on your cross will you triumph over every demonic spirit openly in it, and we give you praise and honor and glory for what you've already accomplished on that cross in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord, for what you've done, are doing, going to do. And you said in that scripture that Nicole was nice enough to post to help me, Lord, to remember it. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Yeah, there's laws on the books that they're totally ignoring, like the Constitution, like the Declaration of Independence. And you said, when in the process of time, these usurps, I forget the exact phrase, but it says that in process of time, if they show themselves to be basically acting like tyrants, it's the will, it's the duty, not just of the will, it's the duty of the people, because these laws are given to us by God, not by man. The rights are given to us by the Creator God, not by man, to overturn such usurpation of what was given to the body of Christ, Father God. So we come before your throne of grace in time of need. You said, if two of you on earth agree to touch anything else, it shall be done to my Father, which is in heaven. You said in your word, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I thank you, Father God, that those Christians, the Holy Spirit anointed Christians, that went down to the border, Father God, that they went down there in love, because we overcome evil with good. The people that were flowing across the border, they were sold a bill of goods too. They were lied to. They said, hey, come on over. We're going to give you $2,000 a month. We'll give you a free cell phone. We'll give you free housing. Sure, yeah, we'll just kick people out of their homes and put you in there. It'll be great. You'll be taken care of. We're going to ship you all over the place. It's going to be wonderful. Because all the people of this country that we gave jobs to, they may not be around in 10 years. So we need a new bunch of people to vote us into office. We thank you, Father God, that you know exactly what their agenda is. You know the agenda not just in the people in this nation, the United States. How about Canada? How about the UN, Father God? Because they're all coordinated, organizing all this business, Father God, and all these different things. The Pastor Sabrina was so patient to read through tonight, and Brother Bill was so nice to post. Thank you, Brother Bill, for posting them. Thank you, Father. You've not left us as orphans. Thank you for the spirit of adoption. And thank you, Jesus, that you're ever living to make intercession for each of us. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that there is still a bit of law, at least it's showing itself in Canada, that those people are able to sue their own government because they decided to make up their own laws and just basically operate like a dictatorship. And Father God, I think that Trudeau was held in on the reins because the big bankers said, hey, don't do it yet. We haven't given you the go-ahead to do this. They're going to find out what we're planning to do down the road. We're not ready yet. We haven't brought in the CBDC to control everything. Oh, Lord, you know what's going on. But, Father, we thank you that those people, judges or whatever, those people in Canada, at least they have a little bit of taste of the truth, Father God. Even though this fellow from the former governor for the Bank of England, he thinks it's terrible, this or the tyranny. Sort of like when the people had the opportunity to have a redress of grievances back on January 6th. And none of them, this great thing that happened in this country, and people weren't carrying guns. How can it be an insurrection? Nobody's trying to, they weren't even carrying pitchforks and torches or anything like the old days. They weren't doing any of that. Some of them were carrying cell phones, doing selfies. Oh, my goodness. And Father, we ask for adjudication concerning what's going on with all the data being snitched from various sources, including from this AT&T telecommunications thing. And they don't even know if they did it or somebody else did it to them or something. And as a customer of that company, I may be looking for a different company. And we thank you for that, Father God, for teaching us what's really going on. Thank you for Pastor Sabrina bringing these things to our awareness, Father God, so we know what to do. We do ask for your wisdom. Even as Pastor Sabrina has reminded us, if any man lacks wisdom, well, I'm just a person. Another gorgeous hunk of dust. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, the creator of heaven and earth. Let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, no wishy-washy. So unite all of our hearts to fear thy name. That's the name above all names. That's the name we need to have a holy, holy reverence for, because everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If they never bow their knees to Jesus in this life, if they never humble themselves, and that's what worship and bowing down has to do with. And it says the unjust fall before the just, before the good. And why did Obama bow down before somebody in Saudi Arabia when he went over there as the United States president? Why did he bow down before that person in Saudi Arabia, Lord? Did he know something? Was he giving an outward show of, of a global business going on, Father God, where he's just a little pawn. He's just a little pawn, Father God. And he's trying to control another little puppet called Biden. At least some people think that, and Tucker might think that. I don't know if other people think that's true. Father, we ask you to continue to expose everything that's going on. We thank you not only for Mark 4:22, kind of a set of it, Matthew 10:26. You said, fear them not, therefore. There's nothing hidden that's not going to be exposed. So we thank you for bringing all these things to light. Thank you for waking up the body of Christ. Think of those spirit-filled Christians at the border. What were they concerned about? Just protecting the country? Protecting their own families? They were concerned about the people coming across the border. They're trying to win people to Jesus, having tent meetings. Hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, he loves you. Are you a human being made in the image of God? Hey, he loves you too. Hey, do you know how our country works? You may not be staying in this country forever, but while you're here, you ought to find out what it's supposed to be like. One nation under God. People for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The people are in charge. Father God, because as we submit ourselves to you, that's the only way it works. Otherwise, we're just all hedonists trying to get our own pleasure, trying to get, well, I need another cake, I need another bunch of ice cream, and need something else, I need another little blend of alcoholic beverage or worse. Father God, not that alcohol in and of itself is bad, not that guns in and of themselves are bad. Some people need to go hunting and get some venison or get something else, maybe a little bit of whatever. Father God, I don't know about possum stew or whatever, but maybe it's good if you're hungry. I haven't been there yet. I guess it's better than eating bugs. So, Father God, we thank you for exposing all the plans of the enemy, not just what's going on with all these financial companies trying to gather information and send it to this Federal Bureau of Intoxication, whatever, the Federal Bureau of Investigation that's trying to support the government, not protecting the people necessarily. We thank you for your adjudication from the righteous judge concerning all these things, from all these political forces that are trying to change things in this nation, Father God, where they have people totally ignoring the rights of the people. And they're not just going after a few Roman Catholics that don't think abortion's a good idea, although they seem to be going after them too. They seem to be about anybody that doesn't want to do what they want, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we think of the whistleblowers, even in the FBI. Some whistleblowers have come forth. Some people in the military industrial complex and the pharmaceutical industrial complex, some of those are coming forth. We thank you for many people starting to stand up and wake up. We thank you for your righteous judgment and adjudication in every one of these areas in Jesus' name. You said over in Psalm 68, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Why would they flee before him? Because he has all power in heaven and earth. And they're all going to be exiting the earthly bodies at some time. The rich in the parable, sure, maybe they can get some people to give them a new heart 10 times. But eventually they're going to leave their earthly bodies. As smoke is driven away, so let drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But that the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. We thank you, Father God, as we exceedingly rejoice. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, down to verse 21. And the hairy scalp of such a one is going off still in his trespasses. Maybe Biden, one of his doubles, will have to get a toupee or something. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. We speak confusion, division in enemies' camp. Satan, you're bound to all. Your underlings are bound from our position, seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Proverbs 18:10, Ephesians 2:6, the end of Psalm 91, all of Psalm 91, over all the saints globally. We speak blindness to the eyes of the enemy, muteness to the mouth of the enemy, and may only hear what Jesus wants them to hear in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, because he set his love upon me, therefore I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and say, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him. And God cannot lie. I will deliver him and honor him with long life while I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because like it says in Colossians 3:4, Christ is our life. He can never die again. He has the power of an endless life. It says in Hebrews 7:16. And he's ever living to make intercession for us. And since he has all power and he loves us perfectly and perfect love casts out all fear, we bind every spirit of timidity, ungodly fear, taking anxious thought for tomorrow, because you said right after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, take no anxious thought for tomorrow. Because, Lord, haven't you fed us all these years? Don't you have good plans for each of us, plans for our peace and not for evil, to give us an expected end? You do. And do you have all power in heaven and earth, Lord Jesus? You do. That's what it says over in Matthew 28:18. And that you're with us always, even to the end of the world, the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Since God is our shepherd, we shall not want. Thank you for providing. So Satan, you're bound to all your underlings, bound seeking to kill, steal, and to destroy. You and every one of your underlings, every spirit of avarice, every spirit of greed, corruption, perversion, all the spirits behind pedophilia, every spirit of total disregard, every spirit of the lizard brains of those that have absolutely no empathy for human beings, that act just like crocodiles, basically. We bind every one of those ungodly spirits from the perverted brains, the perverted minds, perverted hearts, the corrupt ones, those people. We bind every one of those spirits and those people that have not repented and cannot repent in Jesus' name. And those that can repent, Father God, send the Holy Ghost to bring conviction to those that can repent in Jesus. We do pray for those who despitefully use us. I don't know if Trudeau or Biden or any of those can repent, Macron. I have no idea. But help them, Father God, those that can repent, maybe those that are in lower tiers, Father God, to receive that gift of repentance, to acknowledge the truth that may recover themselves from the snare of the devil. Because you said, our faith worketh by love. And you told us, which is pretty challenging this time, you said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he told us to believe on your name. What does that mean, to believe on your name? Your name is written in blood, the blood of God, the blood of the only creator God. So Satan cannot create anything. No. They cannot create anything, Father God. So we ask you to deliver all the children, because you don't want one of these little ones to perish. All the children of the schools that are being jerked around and perverted, giving confusing messages. Even as I was talking to my granddaughter today, 7 years old, Father God, reading little stories about magic in her books from the nice little Quaker school. Isn't that cute? Father God, the people that call themselves Christians but have lacked the power thereof, Father, grant the parents of these children, all the children, not just those connected and related to the saints at Miracle Internet Church, the gifts that they need, discernment, repentance, whatever gifts they need, Father God, to turn from the love of this present world, Father God, in Jesus' name, so we can truly be a lover of the living God who loves us. But you still love us. You still love us. We don't deserve it. But it's not for our righteousness' sake, but for Christ's sake, Father God, deliver us all in Jesus' name. Satan, you're bound. All your underlings are bound. Every spirit of kind of the perversion, all the ungodly soul ties canceled, seven nullified, all the generational iniquity spirits going all the way back to Adam and Eve, on every side of every believer's family, and all going forward for all the descendants of every believer, including Peg and Christine Smith's descendants, including this fellow Trump who's running for office again, Father God. Grant him the gifts that he needs, Father God, that he can truly repent. Because it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So grant each one of us, including me, because what if you accuse somebody else of, you're guilty of yourself, each one of us, the gifts of repentance, the acknowledging of the truth in Jesus' name, including the judges and those that think they can rule over people like tyrants, Father God. Grant them the gifts of repentance, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for delivering us. Every spirit behind tyranny, every spirit behind fascism, every spirit behind Nazism, every spirit of communism, every ungodly ism spirit, contrary to the love of the living God, is bound in Jesus' name because of the blood of covenant. Satan, you're bound to all. Your underlings are bound from our position of seat in heavenly place, no further flow of power communication from the demons down there in the second heavens to demons on earth, to all the people of the United States of America, the people of Canada, people of every nation, not just in Western Europe, in Australia and New Zealand, every nation where they've been targeted, even in Africa. Those Boer people, Father God, means all you need is vaccine, and it doesn't necessarily work out well for them. Father God, every spirit of saying something is good when it's evil, Father God, we bind every lying and deceiving spirit, Father God, in Jesus' name, because of the blood of the covenant, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for what you've done and going to do. Let destruction come upon him as unawares. Let his net, the net which these people from the WHO and everything else, let their net, that he'd catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. All these people trying to ram through a thing. Well, in the United States, you're supposed to have Congress by two-thirds authorized treaties, Father God. Well, this is not put forth as a treaty from the WHO. I know that may not be on the agenda, but it's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the global tyranny agenda, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to expose what's going on and cause the people to wake up, the body of Christ to wake up, Father God. And we know that you're going to do it because you've already started. You've already begun. It's already beginning. We give you praise and honor and glory. I think of that lovely scripture over in Numbers 23:24, Father God. He said, "Behold, the people shall rise up a great lion, shall lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain." That's talking about the body of Christ getting power from having communion by fellowshipping with their Creator God. It says, "Out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness." Who has all power? Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Was it Samson? He was able to find honey in the lion's carcass, Father God. And what happened when we're partaking of the divine nature? As we read that scripture from 2 Peter 1:4, we're partaking of the divine nature. "Your mouth is most sweet, Lord. You're altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Thank you for saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And I haven't known what I'm doing every moment, that's for sure. So, Father, we ask for your wisdom and discernment to each and every member of the body of Christ. And we thank you for giving Jesus all power in heaven and earth. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he's going to judge and save us. And we thank you for that scripture over in, where is that, Lord? Isaiah 33:22. "For the Lord is our judge." The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Jesus, his name is, there's only one Savior. I thank you for Jesus coming to save us. Your arm is not too short to save, Father. And you stretch forth your arm, the Lord Jesus, he's at your right hand. And we thank you for saving us and all the children, because you don't want one of them to perish, Father God. And a lot of people in harm's way, Father God, not just the people of the United States that were here originally, the people that have come across the border, some of them with good intentions, they're trying to get out of China because they're being repressed over there, be treated like slaves. Hey, they don't know they're being brought over here to be treated like slaves too. They just didn't know that, Father God. So forgive them, Father, and help them save all the children, Father God, including those involved with the sex traffic industry. Save all the children, Father God, and all over the earth. And those people that are just trying to live normal lives, I think they can just kind of ignore this. We bind every spirit causing distraction. Constant flow of distractions keeping us from fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, so we can receive that glorious light of the gospel, Father God. We ask you to pour forth that glorious light, even as Tommy Hicks had that.
My mouth was just a child. I heard a beautiful story. How you loved me so much that you died on Calvary. And though I claimed you way back then, no!
that we think so.